All right.
Hello.
Here we are once again.
Here we are.
As always, we're discovering and unlocking mm-hmm. your brain's superpowers, training your brain to work for you, not against you, with tips and tricks and hacks and shortcuts through the brain type test.
Nice.
And one of the brain training techniques that is in the library from the brain type test is meditation. It's a lot easier than a lot of people realize.
Okay, because when I think of meditation, I think of
Yeah.
Sitting in a cross-legged position.
Right.
Thinking about absolutely nothing, so.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate?
That's the classic.
Yeah, super classic.
And it's never thinking of nothing. So there's this ongoing joke that men can think of nothing, women can't think of nothing. And if you ask a man, a farmer, who rides a tractor all day, what are you thinking about when you're out on that tractor? He'll say, nothing. Mm-hmm. And he probably is thinking of nothing.
How nice would that be?
At times, yeah.
Probably.
But that's just the conscious part, because the unconscious part of the brain is never asleep. So right. It's always working during the day. It's always working during the night. And it can overwork. And we need to give it a break. And meditation is a good way to do that. And a lot of people think of meditation, you know, you got to get the finger position right, you got to get the leg cross right, and you got to get the posture right. And some of that can be helpful if it keeps you awake, because meditation can put you to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in a focused state when you do stuff like that, but it's not necessary.
Right.
And so meditation is basically just focusing on something. That's as simple as it is. Meditation is focus. And it can be anything. It can be your breath. When I meditate, I focus on how my breath feels. As I'm inhaling, it feels cooler. As I'm exhaling, it feels warmer because my body's warmed it up. And that's what I focus on. Because to be most effective in its simplest form, meditation means focusing on one thing, which we rarely do.
It's a really tough concept for a lot of people to actually comprehend, like, how would you even be able to do that? There's just so many things to think about, so.
Yeah, there is. And especially with our world, we're just bombarded with so many things to think about.
Especially with our phones.
Yes, and our attention span has gone to heck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bad for our brain.
Oh yeah.
You know, people brag about being a really good multitasker. That's not something to try to be good at, because
really?
It's bad for your brain. The better you get at it, the worse your brain does.
Interesting.
The brain is not designed for that. So it's actually impossible to multitask. You can't do lots of things at once. Your brain can switch between things quickly. And so people who say they're really good at multitasking are people who can switch quickly. But as you get better at switching quickly between things, you get worse at focusing. And the focus mostly comes from the prefrontal cortex. We've talked a lot about that in past podcasts, because that's where things like forethought, rational thought, self-control, willpower come from.
Right. Okay, but you were like saying that too. The thing that came to my mind the most was patience. Because when you focus on something, especially for me, and I mean, there's so many different like labels out there now, ADD, ADHD, and I'm not, you know, harking on those or saying that they're not real, because they totally are. But that's a lack of focus, not being able to focus on something for long periods of time. And that kind of whittles down to the patience to focus on something. And with our society nowadays, like you were talking about, everything's quick and easy, convenient, instant gratification. And that's really hard to develop a level of patience when you live in a society that's moving so fast and that is constantly, like you said, not focused on one thing at a time. There's just a million things, but they kind of go hand in hand, wouldn't you say?
They do. And just mentioning instant gratification, we get that through social media especially, because it's constantly switching. There's ads that are popping up. There's things that are diverting our attention constantly when we're on social media. And it's just, it's built on distraction and instant gratification.
Right.
And marketing, of course, to sell you stuff. But the more people spend with distracting computers and screens and social media, the better they get at instant gratification. And then it becomes a craving and an addiction. Mm-hmm. And the more they're taken away from focus and patience,
right,
and just that ability. Meditation is a skill that works, that improves with practice. You get better at it and you get more out of it as you do it, but it takes patience. So people who have no focus, ability to focus and stay focused, and who are ruined with instant gratification, and it's actually, you see brain changes in MRI scans with these people that lose their ability to focus as they get pulled over more toward instant gratification and distractions and, you know, shiny squirrels here and there. Attention span is just decimated. My sister's a teacher in California, and she said, you know, with the shutdowns and the Zoom and all that and mm-hmm. screen time, the attention spans completely fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
And she's a third grade teacher, and they were already pretty bad. For
when
third graders,
kid,
I mean, it's yeah. When you're a kid, it's
you want, like, there's just so, like, your system overload constantly because mm-hmm. you're learning about all these different things that's going on in your world, and you're trying to navigate through that. And as a child, that's why you have a parent, is to help you, guide you, to help you focus on things so that mm-hmm. you can become an effective adult. Mm-hmm. But with all these different things that are happening with phones and, you know, parents giving their kids phones, and I'm not knocking on parenting because I know what it's like having a child. I don't have one of my own, but I was a nanny, mm-hmm. and it's really hard to just constantly be on as a parent, but it's just super important that we don't give them as much screen time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, just like, you know, kind of going off of what you just said, because of that reason,
yeah.
because it just diminishes their patience, which, if it diminishes their patience, then they don't have any patience for things, and then your patience gets tried as well.
Right.
So it's kind of like you kind of have to figure out what's going to be better, not
yeah.
just for your kid, but also for you
sure.
in the long run too. So it's just,
right.
and I mean, that's everybody, kids, adults, whatever, like
mm-hmm.
that social media, that screen time, it's affecting everybody.
Yeah, and I think I told you that Bev and I are addicted to the Little House on the Prairie series
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
So it is such a great show.
It's so cute.
And if you look at the film techniques back in the late 70s and early 80s, scenes were long, and you have to have an attention span, because
yeah.
the scenes can be 2 or 3 minutes before it switches to another scene. But now you look at today's shows,
switches.
Unbelievably. It's just crazy how fast the scenes switch, because people have to have that. Because
yeah.
if it's more than 10 seconds, they get bored. And then they pull out their phone to get the addiction of the switching.
I didn't even mm-hmm. think about it like that.
But along that, we were watching one of the episodes. I think we're in season 5 now.
Yeah.
And there was an advertisement, because we watch it on IMDb. You know,
mm-hmm.
Amazon,
mm-hmm.
so there's ads.
Mm-hmm.
And this ad came up for a phone holder to put over, with the arm, to put over the changing table so your baby can watch your phone while you're changing them. Because
I'm sorry.
I know. Because
I'm sorry, but what?
Yeah.
That's so...
Because the baby is, you know, the baby's, you know, doing this, and it's hard to change them, and you, every parents are in a hurry, and so then put this phone there over their face, so they focus on the phone, and they go into the blue light hypnosis, and then they're hypnotized while you're changing them, so you can get it done.
Yeah.
And it's just so many.
That's too much.
Toxic.
That's too much.
It's an infant. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The meditation trains the PFC, which is the part of the brain that helps us focus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're constantly distracted all day, it's the opposite of that. And the PFC actually shrinks as we use more of the rest of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the brain stem, the reptilian, people call it reptilian part of our brain, gets bigger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And the PFC gets weaker because we're spending most of our time over here and not over here. And meditation turns that around. it's a workout for the PFC. So the PFC gets bigger and stronger and even more overall gray matter in the brain. It's amazing what the MRI technology, functional imaging, shows with that.
Let me ask you a question. I have actually two questions based upon meditation. So the first one, I think a lot of people, when they hear the word meditation, they can kind of turn their brain off a little bit, just because of that old connotation of like what it looks like or what it is. So how long do you think that you should start when you start out meditating? What would you say is like a good period of time to do so? Because, I mean, if you guys haven't heard of the X Gym before, which is what we do here, is the brain training and also the workouts. We do it for busy people. Mm-hmm. It's to make things more effective, mm-hmm. because we know how busy life can get. So what would you say would be a good time frame to start out at and then work your way up to? Like, what do you do, for example?
I tell people to start with 15 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Just sit there, breathe, and see how quiet you can be. And pick one thing to focus on. Maybe it's a candle. Maybe if you want your eyes open. Maybe if you want your eyes shut, you can focus on the darkness. Mm. Or anytime you shut your eyes, it's not completely black, because there's things that you can see. Yeah, I mean, there's, everybody's different. You know, right now I can see the background of the windows because I just closed my eyes, and so, you know, my rods and cones are dealing with getting rid of that. And then every once in a while, there's something, a little shape, and because my eyes are doing things. It's, the eyes are a nerve and they just do stuff. Another thing you could do is just sit there, focus on what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And I say sit there because if you lie down in meditation, you probably will fall asleep. And the better you get at it, the more relaxing it is. And sometimes I'll even fall asleep if I'm sitting too comfortably. So I have to get forward. And this is where the whole leg cross thing and thing. So you're focusing, you're physically staying awake. But you don't need to do that. There's nothing magical about that. It's just sitting there. Now my back is not supported. I have to hold myself up. Or even sitting on a physio ball is a good way to go.
Yeah.
And then just focusing on one thing. Pick one thing and focus on that one thing. And then,
15 seconds.
Yeah. And if you're a beginner in this, that'll be hard for 15 seconds to focus on one thing. You won't be able to do it your first time. So just lower your expectations.
Right when I hit a minute for me right now, currently, that's when I like kind of like start to want to do something else.
Yeah.
You know, your mind starts to wander.
Yeah.
And one of the things, like if you do, if you've ever done guided meditation or anything like that, because you can do, I would say that different brain types respond to different things,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's auditory or just doing it by yourself or different things like that. But one of the things they say is when a thought comes through,
yeah,
just let it be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like don't have a feeling about it or anything, or don't get upset that you're having thoughts because you're trying to like kind of focus on one thing. Just let it pass by like a cloud, like mm-hmm. it's just passing by. I thought that was such an interesting thing, because I think that when you're trying to meditate and a thought comes through, you're like, oh crap, I'm messing up.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like you have to kind of refocus. But I love that you can start out with that like 15 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then just kind of work your way up from there. So how would you say like the sequence would go? Like what would you say for a beginner? 15 seconds, and then would you do it every day, or would you do it like once a week, or how would you think?
Once a day. Everyone can do 15 seconds once a day.
I think that's just a knock with yours, you know, like every day.
Yeah.
15 seconds.
Yeah.
And spare that much time.
You can even do it in your commute. When a lot of times, you know your intersections, you know your traffic lights, and you know how long they are. And so it just turns red. You barely didn't make it. So now you're going to be sitting there for 30 seconds. Why not then? Mm. You know, just little reminders. And focus on one thing. Pick a thing. I choose my breath most of the time because that's easiest for me. And other people could choose, you know, what they hear and whatever it is. If you have a thought that comes to your mind, like you were saying, mm-hmm. then say, that's okay. Don't mm-hmm. don't let that be an opportunity to criticize yourself. Instead, let it go and get back to the focus, because Meditation is getting back to focus. It's not sucking at it because you can't focus. It's getting better at it as you practice. And every time you're distracted off your one thing that you decide to focus on, that's okay. That's a rep. Mm. And then getting back is a rep.
Yeah.
And then maybe 3 seconds later, something else, you think another thought pops into your mind. And just say, that's okay. Boom. Now I'm back on. That's another rep. So if you're 15 seconds and you do 20 reps in 15 seconds, you just need more training. And those are just reps that you've done. And now you've had the opportunity to do those reps. And so next time, maybe you'll only have to do 18 reps. Mm-hmm. The reps aren't bad. The reps are a workout. And it depends on your state too. So if you're in a crummy mood or a weird mood, or, you know, you talk to the people that we think that are the best at meditation are Buddhist monks. And you talk to any monk and he will tell you that a distraction is an opportunity for a rep mm-hmm. to get better at it. If you have no reps during your workout, mm-hmm. you need to increase your time mm-hmm. because that's great. You know, pat yourself on the back. Great. Now I made it 15 seconds and I was able to focus the whole time. That's awesome. Now just making that much progress will have measurable changes in a brain MRI.
Right.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Now make it 20. Go up to 20 seconds. And if you can't do it, and then just great, there's some reps. So stay at 20 and do your reps until you make it to 20. And then you go 25 seconds. So it's never good or bad. It's just exercise for your brain. And knowing that as you do reps and as you increase time, both are fine and both are strengthening the PFC and your brain and filling in some of the holes that have been created, literal holes that will fill in as you get better at focusing, and then the parts of your brain that are really beefed up from all the distractions will atrophy. So multitasking is unhealthy for the brain. Mm-hmm. And focusing is healthy for the brain. That's brain food. Multitasking is brain poison. Now, a certain amount we have to do, right? Mm-hmm. And especially with certain jobs. I mean, you got to be able to do this and that and switch. So if you're in that kind of job and you're forced to do that, that's okay. Then you need to do more meditation than somebody who can focus.
Well, because then you're more effective when you are switching, right? Because like, mm-hmm. even though you're required to switch throughout the day, a lot of people, like, for example, I've had issues with this in the past, is like, you'll do different things and you'll like multitask, mm-hmm. but you'll get everything and everything's like half done.
Yep.
And it's just you're trying to, like, or you'll read a book. Right, you'll start reading this book and you really like it, but then you won't finish it. It's just mm-hmm. like unfinished projects everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And that can often make you feel more like a failure than actually failing at something after you've really tried hard to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that meditation and making up for that and like getting good at focusing,
yep.
what that's going to make you more effective at is being in, when you're in that moment of having to focus on a certain thing for a certain period of time, even if it's only like a couple minutes, mm-hmm. you're more effective at that point
mm-hmm.
because you're able to focus in and then focus in and then focus in, and you're switching mm-hmm. back and forth. So just thought that was really interesting that you
yeah.
said that. And it is super valuable to do that as well. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was thinking about was it'll help you with studying, because I know for you, you love research.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, because you think, I would say like when you've done meditation, do you think it's helped you to focus on your research and like really get as much as you can out of it? Because something that I've struggled with, and I know a lot of people do, is studying, like sitting there for a long period of time and focusing
mm-hmm.
on a project,
mm-hmm.
whether it's homework, whether it's studying, whether it's for work or whatever it is. So do you think that the meditation has helped you with your research and your studies?
Yes. When I'm falling down a rabbit hole of research, I have no problem focusing. It's so fun. Five hours can go by and it feels, and I'm shocked. I think the clocks are wrong because it felt like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's how I feel about nutrition. Like when I'm in it, But if it's something that you're not the super, like, super fond of or confuses you,
mm-hmm.
something that's confusing,
mm-hmm.
that I find is so hard
mm-hmm.
to focus on and try to learn something.
So glad you brought that up, because it's important to have the right kind of mindset with things that are confusing. Because when it's confusing or hard, you want to give up.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much work. But that is when the brain is getting the most benefit, especially if you're learning something new, which is usually the case when it's hard or confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So just know that most of the brain benefits are happening when it's hard and you're trying to figure it out. I know, it doesn't sound fun. Well, but a hard workout isn't necessarily fun either. So, and it's the same thing. Yeah. So
it's fun at the end when you feel phenomenal.
Yeah.
Right. But then during is just the tough part.
There are several websites that I recommend for people go to exercise their brain. And I tell people they're games.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it's really fun because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel good at it. And then the game progressively gets harder. And then you're like, oh, this sucks. And then you turn it off. But at the point where you said, oh, this sucks, and you turned it off, was when you were starting to get benefits.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so when you push through that.
Yeah. It's the overcoming.
Anytime that I find myself feeling like it's really hard, I'm like, I remind myself, okay, this is great.
This is the time.
This is, yeah. Now it's the payoff.
Sheesh. That is such a good mindset to have. And knowing that, I think, can change a lot of people's minds about things being hard. Because if it is hard, that's when you're like, oh, this is when the benefits come. This is when the good stuff happens. Even though it might not feel good right now, that long-term effect is going to really, like, benefit me in the long run.
Well, it's the same as our chart up here. Because right. As you get... during time under tension, as you get towards the end of the set, look at the results. They're exponential.
You're just holding on.
Yeah, you're holding on, and the longer you hold on, the more you get out of it. But it's also getting harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hit that last 10 seconds, look at the benefits. But if you stop halfway through, look at those 10 seconds.
It could be said for the same thing for everything, just in life, because everything is kind of on an uphill grade.
Yeah.
Like, you're always kind of going uphill,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting more benefits. But if you choose to go back down the hill, you just have to start over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's going to get easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a different hard
mm-hmm.
that you're choosing, because mm-hmm. now you're having to climb back up that hill, especially if you want to get somewhere. Right? And so it's just so interesting. That's like just success, right? And success is based upon what you think is success, whether that's financial or whether that's peace in your life or whether that's love. Like, it's always going to have that uphill grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're up there, it's just going to get easier.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefits are at the top.
Yep. And you just said the word peace. And that's peace and calm are another benefit to meditation, which people are having a lot of trouble with right now, because they're stuck in fear. When you're stuck in fear, your amygdala gets really big and strong, and your PFC starts to shrivel down and get really small. So meditation and also takes you out of that and helps you escape from fear, so you can be calmer
mm-hmm.
and more patience and all those things that we want to have.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end result is more happiness. And the Apostle Paul gives us code words to think about. So he says in one of his verses, one of his letters, he says, think about whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about those things. So if I'm not focusing on my breath, I pick one of those words and just focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm breathing, I'll even say it on the exhale to keep myself on track. Just say it over and over and over. And then if I wear it out, then I switch to the next one and say that one over and over and over. And often with those words, it will bring me to a state of gratitude.
That is so interesting that you brought that up too. If you guys have tried saying certain words for some reason, a certain feeling washes mm-hmm. over you when you say certain words.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, a lot of those words are actually in the Bible. And, you know, that's my faith for sure. And it doesn't have to be anybody else's, but there's just so much good stuff
mm-hmm.
in there. And one of the words that I say that just, it just instantly makes me feel better is peace. When you mm-hmm. do say the word peace or mm-hmm. calm or grateful, mm-hmm. I am grateful. Like when you say the word I am and then you put a positive annotation after it, that goes back to affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
It is just so powerful because words are powerful. They're energy.
Yeah.
When you put words out there, because there's a frequency to our words.
And that's another brain training technique
mm-hmm.
is words. Words become your experience. They create your experience. And when you say them out loud, because of the energy and the connotation and the meaning that they have,
yeah.
they break your pattern and make and change the state that you're in.
Well, yeah, because it's like you think about all these different brain training things, and even though they're different, they're all intertwined with each other.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different thing that works for them, but that's why we talk about all of them, is because everybody works differently, but they all kind of go together.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They really do bring you to that core, peace, calm, happy, grateful attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so important to hack your brain.
Yeah.
And like train it to do something different, because a lot of the times during life, like our brain's on autopilot,
mm-hmm.
just kind of like going down a path. You get stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. Your brain is just in this pattern. Mm-hmm. And in order to break that pattern, it's always tough, but then you can form a new pattern and a mm-hmm. new rut that's more positive and more impactful in a good way on your life.
Right. And another thing that people can do besides focusing on one thing is to focus on their breathing. Make that the thing, their one thing.
Yeah.
And especially if you control the exhale, then you are doing meditation, but you're also doing HRV training. Heart rate variability is what that stands for. And it's the length of time between beats. So if you look at an EKG mm-hmm. and you see the peak of your beat, it's the length of time between the peaks. When you're really stressed out, that will be super consistent because your brain takes over and it tells your heart when to beat because you're stressed.
Mm.
And that's good, you know, if fight or flight and you're trying to get away from something, because your brain takes over and it regulates that. But when you're relaxed and when you're in a good state, especially state of love or gratitude, your heart is beating when it should, when it wants to, and the brain's not telling it what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be slower, yeah, but it's the time between the beats. So when you have high heart rate variability, the time is inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a short time, sometimes it's a long time, and it's not rhythmic per se. I mean, it still feels that way when you take your pulse, because it's hard to detect that time. But when HRV goes up, they call it coherence, and that's where your brain's working better, everything is working better, your heart's beating when it should, and it's relaxing, it's calm. And the best way to get there is, like I said, control the exhale. So inhale however you want, and then exhale to a count of, say, 5 to start with. It doesn't have to be 5 seconds, it just has to be slow, whatever your 5 is. Then breathe through your heart. This is a heart math technique. You can Google that, find out who came up with this. And by breathing through your heart, I mean literally, physiologically, visualizing this is your breath center. So it's weird at first to visualize that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, well, do I do it on the inhale or the exhale? Both. And then, well, how do I focus on that area? Because my breathing is in my mouth and in my lungs. It's just something you get better at.
Right.
So it's okay to suck at it when you start out. You sucked at walking when you started doing that. But now you don't even have to think about it.
Worse.
So this is just like that. And, but you kept trying, right? You didn't give up.
Funny.
You were too young to...
Yes, I feel like I definitely gave up. I'm not very good at walking anymore. tripping over everything.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Sometimes.
Running into stuff. Like, how do you, you know, I always think about it like, how did I possibly run into this wall? Like, how did I misjudge the fact that this wall
I know.
Was in front of me?
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Or when you trip over a flat floor.
Oh, this, I did that today.
So if I'm walking and other people see me do it, then I'll look back. Okay, I'll tell everybody, hey, look out for that perfectly level flat spot. So focusing on one thing could be the breathing. And if it's the breathing, then you could step it up a little bit and control the exhales for heart rate variability, breathing through your heart. But just starting out, I mean, that all sounds more complicated than it should be in the beginning, because in the beginning, it's just focused, picking one thing, forgetting breathing. Well, of course you want to breathe, but well, it's 15
stop
seconds.
Breathing.
Yeah, you could stop breathing for 15 seconds, but
turning purple.
Yeah. So it's just picking one thing and focusing on it and noticing how many reps you do in that 15 seconds. And all of them are fine because they're giving you benefit. Not that you try to do reps, but just knowing that they're okay. Like you said, you know, the thought comes in, be okay with it. That's a rep. So you're just okay with it. And then once you make it to 15 seconds, maybe it'll be the first time. Maybe it'll take you 3 weeks. Or longer, it doesn't matter. It's just doing it that matters.
Yeah, just do it.
Because doing it, even if you're doing lots of reps every time, you're still getting better. You're increasing your PFC. You're shrinking down the amygdala and the other places that are really good at switching back and forth between things. And you're getting your brain better and on your way toward less stress, more happiness, and a better, healthier brain. So meditation is one of the brain training techniques from the brain type test.
Right.
And there's a YouTube that I made to help people, you know, get through it. It's way more specific than what we talked about today. But today is enough, you know, to give people a freebie so they can start to do it. But this one is in the top 6 brain training techniques for the detective brain type, the general, the improviser, and the motivator. And it works for all 16, but it's the best for those 4.
Okay.
And if people want to know their secret superpowers, their top 6 brain training techniques, they go to braintype.me and they can take that test, the brain type test, to figure out what their superpowers are, their best brain hacks based on their brain wiring for the maximum, quickest, fastest benefit to changing their brain in a very positive way.
Yeah, it's definitely impacted my life in a lot of different ways. And yeah, I think it can do so much for other people. And that's why we talk about these different brain hacks and kind of go into depth about them, because everybody's different. Everything works, or everybody works different. Everybody has a different brain type. But yeah, this is a really good one, meditation.
Yep. Yeah. Love it.
Love it.
Boom.
Boom. Go to dynamite.
And that's all I had to say about that.